Ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
On today's show, we've got Mike Grace, who should be breaking down game film of the Padres, but more often than not is breaking down show film of himself.
I like to go back and watch a little game film just to see if everything makes sense that I say, because a lot of times it doesn't.
We're also joined by Kurt Bevacqua, who's inviting everyone back to his place after the game tonight. Well, almost everyone.
I'm not sure about the Twitterland folks, because I don't know who they are. You don't know who you're dealing with.
We can vet them a little bit. We can make sure that we don't have any axe murderers coming to your house.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to a chilly San Diego evening. A little rain today. Nice to see. We needed some rain, Kurt.
Yes, we did.
We needed
did.
Some rain.
And incidentally, the invitations have all been taken. So
no open invitations to Kurt's man cave. Oh. You cannot get that now.
And where's
Sorry.
Your ball?
My ball is right here somewhere.
Oh, good. I just wanted to make sure.
I got my ball.
Good.
Hands, roughing it up.
I'll be remembering.
I like to hold it in the change-up grip. You know, keeps the fingers from wiggling too much.
It's a good grip. It's a good grip.
So much to talk about today, Kurt. I feel like it's deja vu. We sat here 2 days ago coming off a 6-0 loss to the Giants, to Ryan Vogelsong, and then here we are a little bit worse, 11-0 last night to Ruby De La Rosa. A lot to talk about with last night's game, not a lot of good things to talk about with last night's game. And we're going to start with the injury, the most negative part of last night's game, which is a lot to say for an 11-0 loss. Yonder Alonso dives to his right and comes up injured. We're going to tell you about that right now. He is going on the disabled list, and that is the AMR injury report. AMR, American Medical Response, is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amrsandiego.com.
It's a pretty good sponsor to have when you stick somebody in a DL, huh?
Yeah, you get them where they need to go safely when they're injured. Mm-hmm. So he dives to his left, puts his throwing hand down, and he comes up with what Bill Center described on Twitter as a bone bruise in the right shoulder. And I've got to think this is somewhat related to getting hit with a pitch a couple days ago that kept him out of the lineup for a few days. Doesn't sound like there's any sort of separation at this point in the shoulder joint, which I would say is a good thing, but a deep bone bruise, and he was in a lot of pain last night.
I have no idea what a bone bruise in your shoulder is. I never knew about that. Never knew about oblique muscles either. I mean, I thought they were just invented.
You didn't have those?
Just in the last couple of years. We never had oblique injuries when I played. So these were all new things that are happening and are going on right now. But, it's too bad about Yonder. He's swinging a bat real well, and it's unfortunate. But you know what? Those things happen, and when they do, you've got to have people step up and do the job, and that's what carries teams to championships. So hopefully that'll happen. The thing I was disappointed in the most last night was the pitching.
Sure.
Even more so than the hitting. You get beat 11-0, and you go, well, these bats are supposed to be swung. You've got hitters on this team. They made deals to go out and get offensive players this past winter. Good pitching, you'll hear it. You've heard it a few times already this year, and you're going to hear it again before the season's over. Good pitching is always going to beat good hitting. That's just the nature of the game. But the one thing that I didn't like about last night was the pitch location. It was just way out of whack. And it seems like ever since OD, and I'm talking about Despaigne, was taken out of the rotation after coming out of spring training when Ian came back, after he was ready and got rid of his little groin pull, and they took him and put him back in the bullpen. I said at the time that it didn't look like he was happy. Now he's back in the rotation, and he's not throwing the ball anywhere near the way he was when he was throwing the ball when Kennedy was gone.
Yeah, definitely a rough start, missing with location all over the place. A lot of balls up right off the bat to Mark Trumbo. Hits the ball about a country mile to left field there. Goldschmidt beats him. And I'd say probably the most disappointing part of that game was the bottom of the lineup was getting him. Chris Owings and Tuffy Goswitch go 5-for-9 with 4 RBI against him. And, you know, the top of the lineup, you can handle some things up there because those are good hitters. But the bottom of the lineup, you really can't make mistakes like that to those guys. And that's where he really got hurt yesterday.
It's this pitch. It's setting up pitches and then location as much as it is anything. And if Despaigne, probably more than any other pitcher on the staff, if he doesn't come inside more to hitters, he's going to get knocked around exactly the way he did last night. He needs to learn how to get inside. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised that more balls aren't set up inside by the catchers, whether it's Derek Norris or now Austin Hedges, to have him throw the ball inside more. And we'll kind of look into that stuff when the ball club gets back into town and find out what the deal is. You just can't consistently 80 to 90% of the pitches keep the ball outside. You got to work it at least 25% of the time inside.
Especially when you're not throwing 95, 96 to get a pass, guys.
You watch James Shields do it, mm-hmm. and he throws fastballs in, but he also throws changeups in. That makes that changeup inside even more effective because the hitter thinks it's a fastball. And when he sees it coming inside, he tries to react to it, and Shields' changeup is so good that they swing over the top of it and miss it a lot. And that makes him very, very effective. If O-Dog would do that and he'd learn from James Shields, I think he'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, he's had a lot of trouble on the road in his short career. He's got a 5.80 ERA on the road, and even worse at Chase Field. He's north of 8 ERA-wise at Chase Field. Not too many pitchers have had a lot of success there. They had the windows open, the roof open, so the ball was going to fly a little bit. And it's funny that you talk about pitching inside. The pitch to Goldschmidt was supposed to be down and away, came up and in, and Goldschmidt gets his hands through, and he hits a home run to left field as well. But the location was just all over the place, and I had to think there might have been some cross-ups with Derek Norris too. The pass ball didn't even hit the ground. It seemed like Norris was expecting the ball to catch up, and it just went under his glove.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
So it was.
Usually when you see something like that, it's a cross-up where they're not on the same page. He was expecting maybe more of a breaking ball that was going to spike into the dirt and didn't get it. So probably all kinds of issues going on last night between his location and possibly the scouting report, like you said, not pitching in enough. A lot of things going wrong last night.
I think it was all location. But you have to remember that this is where advanced scouts really come in handy. When you've got new guys that are not only on the mound but also a new catcher in a new league, they rely extensively on advanced scouting and how to pitch to certain hitters in certain – not even certain situations, but how to start off and then get to them in certain situations. If you take the pitcher, for example, for the Diamondbacks last night, he threw breaking balls 20-30% more the second time around in the lineup than he did the first time. So he gave the hitters fastballs to see, and then when they came around again, he threw many more breaking balls and off-speed pitches.
And not having seen Ruby De La Rosa much other than his start earlier in the year on the 13th, where the Padres scored 3 runs off of him in 6 innings, a real good fastball, a live arm. But you saw the numbers in the broadcast last night. He has had less success the more the lineup has seen him. So it'd be interesting to see if that is a change for him, that he's starting to throw more breaking balls later in the game after people have seen his fastball and whatever his other offerings are. Maybe that's a switch that he's made through their advanced scouting and maybe something the Padres weren't expecting that they haven't seen on game film from him. I don't know. But
I think we would all see, and I'd be curious to see the statistics, but I'll bet you that you get your top 10% of pitchers in the big leagues. Their statistical rankings are going to remain the same throughout the course of the game. When I say rankings, I'm talking about from the first or second inning, third inning, and then on, where the offense doesn't increase its batting average against you. But a guy like De La Rosa, you said that the lineups get to him a lot more in the later innings, and that's the reason why major league teams have bullpens, because they know that. They know what those statistical things are. And when you got a guy like Clayton Kershaw, if he's got his stuff together, the batting averages probably go down in the latter part of the game, more so than they do with a lot of other pitchers.
it's interesting. A lot of different pitchers, you know, they get stronger throughout the game, or, you know, I'm guessing with Kershaw, when when you're facing that guy and you're just swinging and missing a lot, it's going to build some frustration, and that's going to lead to possibly lower batting averages, lower on-base percentages, like you said, as you go further into the game. You know, a younger pitcher probably has to work a little harder to keep getting guys out the further he gets into the game, like De La Rosa, but he looked really good last night. He hadn't had a lot of great starts this year, but a real live, active arm, looked like he was touching 96, 97, some movement on the ball. Only gave up three hits. He the single to Kemp early in the game, which, you know, Yasmani Tomas didn't make the best effort on that, and then he had a couple hard-hit doubles from Solarte and Norris, and no hits from the Padres after the fourth inning from there, a couple walks, but similar to that game against Vogelsong, no real threats against that pitcher.
The one thing that he was doing pretty well was he was keeping the ball on the plate or just off of it. And when you try to come in on a guy, when Derek Norris sets up outside, low and away, and you've got a Paul Goldschmidt at the plate, and the pitch comes up and in on the plate, that ball's got a chance to leave the park, and that's exactly what happened. When you pitch Goldschmidt and you want to come in on him, you have to come in on him. You can't leave the ball on the plate in. You have to be in off the plate.
Yeah, you're talking about moving his feet, jamming him really hard.
You know, I'm not talking about knocking him down.
Not a hittable inside pitch is what you're
there
saying.
There you go. That's exactly
an
right.
An unhittable inside
and
pitch.
And if you do swing at it, you're gonna get hit very close to the hands, and it's just going to break your bat in half.
It's something that I've heard Randy talk a lot about, pitching inside. I've heard you talk a lot about it. Is this something that you don't see in baseball in general anymore? Pitchers don't pitch inside like they did in perhaps your day or even 10, 15 years ago with guys like Randy Johnson and things like that. Is this a systemic thing in baseball that you see, or is it something with this pitcher, this team?
Let me tell you exactly the way it is. The pitchers nowadays pitch inside nicely. The pitchers back in the day didn't pitch so nicely inside. Now, we see the Kansas City deals and the high and inside and Chris Sale hitting the Kansas City player in the head with the ball, and Herrera and the other pitchers for the Kansas City Royals coming inside and throwing balls behind guys' heads. But that's one game out of a lot of games that are being played that day. And if you look at the overall number of pitches that are thrown, pitchers just don't knock guys back. And you have to establish the inside part of the plate. And I think that's what the difference is. When I look at the box score today, and I see a Nick Vincent strike out two guys in the inning, but give up three runs on three hits, I'm wondering to myself, what's going on? How is he striking out two out of three of the hitters and giving up three runs on three hits and two or three earned runs in that situation? Because he struck him out because he's got great stuff, but they got hits off of him because he doesn't throw his great stuff where he should be throwing it. And if he was, he'd be more effective.
The old adage is location's going to beat stuff most any time. If you can locate a fastball, you can get guys out at this level.
If you throw a fastball that's got that much of the outside part of the plate, and you've been throwing outside and outside and outside, and that hitter knows that you're not going to bust him back this far off the plate, that ball's going to get hit. If you bust him back this far off the plate and then you go with that ball, it's got a lot less chance of getting hit. It's just part of the game. It's the way it is.
That is the way it is. It's the way it's always been, and I don't think anything's going to change as far as that goes.
You got hitters that – I mean, look at the way these guys swing. I mean, are you kidding me? Dickerson? If that guy would have been playing when I was playing, the pants on his butt would have been dirty. I mean, I've never seen a guy swing that hard before and get away with it. You know, it's like, okay, go ahead and swing. I'm just going to try to throw another ball by you. I mean, it's crazy.
Here's a good question from East Village Times. Is Ventura another Pascual Perez? Kurt knows what happened with Pascual. Nobody's Pascual Perez, right?
Pasquale is just Pasquale. You know, he might have that mentality. You know, he's hot-blooded. That's okay to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to give Pasquale a little respect, the two times we faced him after that happened, he didn't come anywhere near any of our hitters.
Well, he didn't want to take one in the back again. Or close to the back.
So I just think they should change the rules where American League pitchers should hit or have to go to the batter's box every once in a while. And that stuff would stop, I think.
Hear, hear. I agree. Let's get rid of the DH. Getting a lot of great questions on Twitter, some comments in the live chat. We're going to get to all that next. Remember, if you want to interact with us, it's the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or in the live chat, Padres.com/social hour. We're going to get some more questions and comments, as well as more of the moves related to Yonder Alonso and another move from that, all coming up in the next break. Every Sunday home game is Kids Fest at the park. That features autographed signings from Padres players, bounce houses, face painters, and more. Bring the family for the next Kids Fest on Sunday, May 17th, and watch the Padres take on the Washington Nationals at 1:10 p.m. Get tickets at Padres.com. More about the Padres' injury news and moves coming up right after the break.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Getting you ready for Diamondbacks Padres 640 here in just a little while. A lot to talk about. We talked about Yonder Alonso going on the disabled list. Probably won't actually happen until tomorrow because of the move being so late today. The corresponding move, which has many domino effects from there, is Abraham Almonte coming up. Really good numbers in AAA El Paso. Hitting 308, 378, 505. He's got 4 home runs, 9 doubles, 12 walks, 16 Ks, doing a lot of good things. So, one, you bring up a switch hitter. You bring up a guy that can play center field. We'll get to the lineup a little bit later, but teaser, Will Myers is going to start at first base tonight. So, to me, that says if you're bringing up an extra outfielder instead of a guy that can play first base, you're probably looking to get Will Myers more starts at first base than not, and you're going to let Almonte and Venable kind of split some time in center field. Add some defense to your outfield, which I'd say is a good thing at this point, something that's probably be needed, but keeping Will Myers in there, getting him some experience at first base. So many dominoes kind of fall with this injury.
There's more with it.
There are.
What happens to Solarte?
I think you've got to figure out what's going on with Jerko and Middlebrooks. Jerko not in the lineup again today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Really?
As well. Yeah. So Solarte is going to play third base. Middlebrooks down. I think they're kind of giving him some time to work with Zoe and Mark.
Oh,
Kotze.
So Corey's playing second.
Yeah. So
okay.
So Spangenberg's playing second.
The plug.
Is that what you call him?
The spark plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been playing well.
Absolutely, he has.
So what are your initial thoughts on Will Myers at first base? He's only played like 3 major league games. He's got some experience in the minor leagues. I don't have too many concerns. He's an athlete. He's played the infield. The numbers say his defense in center field hasn't been fantastic. I'd say it's been adequate. So maybe this is a little bit of a look into the future possibly.
I'm anxious to see if during infield drills and before the game started, whether or not he's going to be shagging fly balls in the outfield now that he's playing first base. Because when he was playing the outfield, he was taking balls in the infield. So I'm anxious to see if he's going to flip it around or if he's actually going to go out and work on his defense.
I would imagine he will. I think he'll take it a little more seriously now that there's probably some realistic starts coming up.
Well, there's realistic starts in center field.
That's true. And I think he took his normal balls in center field, but the early stuff when they're – he just wants to play baseball. You could tell. Guys are taking ground balls at second base, and there's nobody hitting balls to the outfielders.
No,
he's going to go take ground balls.
There's no more fun than to take fungos. Get one of your coaches to hit fungos to you. Dick Williams used to hit them to me, where you can go up over the wall and catch a ball. That's the greatest thing in the world. And when you learn how to do that and you feel comfortable doing it, when the game time comes, you just can't wait for that one ball to be hit where you can do it.
We got a question from Ozzy on Twitter. He says, what are the chances we see Norris at first and Hedges play catcher? Solarte isn't a typical first baseman. Too many errors. It sounds like that's a possibility, but not in the short term. I think Derek needs to get a little work at first base on the field before some games before they want to put him at first base in a game. So it's a possibility. Buddy's talked about it, but I think Myers is a little more adept at this point to get some at-bats and some reps at first base before Norris is. It's a good point about Hedges getting in and catching more. He's a very skilled defensive catcher, and you definitely want to keep Norris's bat in the lineup, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think you're going to see a lot of Solarte and probably Myers at first base at this point until Alonso gets healthy.
No, I think you're right. I don't think Derek's going to find first base anytime too soon, at least within the next couple of weeks, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's not taking ground balls there. At least as precaution, just in case he's needed over there. Right now they've got, you can stick people at first base. I mean, Will Middlebrooks could probably play first base.
I think that's an option, yeah.
If needed, towards the latter part of the game. But when you start a guy and put a guy at first base, one of the reasons you're putting him out there is for defense. So you want to have somebody out there that can catch the ball, and you want to feel comfortable that if you're in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning of a one- or two-run game, that you've got somebody over there that's going to just not catch throws from the other infielders, but also catch ground balls and make plays.
They had some options at first base other than bringing up an outfielder from AAA El Paso, Alex Dickerson, the kid from Poway. Little more of an outfielder, but he's got a lot of first base experience in his minor league career. He's hitting really well at AAA El Paso, 360, slugging 573, a few home runs. And he's actually on the 40-man, so it wouldn't have been that unrealistic to bring him up. Brett Wallace, who's got some time with the Astros in the past, hitting pretty well. We know what Tommy Medica can do. He's also on the 40-man, so he was able to be brought up. So I got to think they want to see a little bit of what Myers can do at first base, kind of like what you talked about the other day. Get Spangenberg some at-bats out there, get him some playing time, see what he is. Let's see what Will Myers is at first base.
Well, if they're really looking at Will Myers as the first baseman, what are they thinking about doing with Alonso? If, let's say, he's out of the lineup for 3 weeks, and let's say you put Will at first base, and for the next 3 weeks he plays well, what are you going to do? If the ball club's winning, Alonso comes back, and the outfield seems like it's better defensively, and you've got Will Meyer playing a good first base, maybe not as good as Yonder Alonso can play.
Probably not. But
a decent first base. What do you do?
One, I think Yonder has to get absolutely 100% healthy. We've seen what happens with him when he comes back and he's not 100%. He needs the strength in his hands, his wrists, his arms, or he's not going to be effective. So, one, hopefully it is really good with Will Myers. Hopefully he plays a good first base, hits the ball like we know he can, and that gives Yonder time to heal. Once you get to that point, he gets healthy. Like you said, say everything goes really well with Myers, you probably just shuffle a little bit. Myers starts against left-handed pitchers at first. He goes back to center field a little bit. I think there's going to be times, depending on how the team's playing, how they're pitching, what do you prioritize? Is the offense going so well that you can prioritize defense a little more? It probably all goes with the ebbs and flow of that time of the season, I would say.
Do you worry about Alonso getting hurt so early in the season after having been hurt so many times in the last couple of years?
Yes and no. I was more concerned last year that he was having continued wrist and hand problems. That seemed a little epidemic with him. This is a completely different thing. I just worry more that he was in a good place, he was swinging the bat well, and he's losing that momentum. That's where my concern grows with him more. I think this is more of a freak injury to get hit by a pitch and then to dive and have it all kind of come together. That's doesn't concern me as much as his previous injuries, but I worry about him getting out of his rhythm.
Bone bruise. That's what Bill Sutter called it.
Deep. Those hurt, man. I'm going to assume. You probably had a bone bruise you didn't even know.
No. I had bone bruises. Trust me. I don't think I ever had bone bruises in any part of my body other than my hands. I didn't know that was possible, but evidently it is. I guess if you have a bone and it's bruised, it's called a bone bruise. Think?
That's the true AMR injury report right there. Dr. Bavakwa just laying it down. So everybody out there completely understands what a bone bruise is.
Never really looked at it like that before. But I guess if you go deep, you can see it.
Military and their families receive special pricing on tickets for all Padres home games. 25% of all tickets all season long and 50% off Sunday military appreciation days. More info and tickets at padres.com/military. More from Dr. Bavacqua when we come back from the AMR studios right after this.
I love making you laugh.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. Kurt and Mike getting you ready for Padres Diamondbacks here a little bit later.
Dr. Kurt to you.
Dr. Kurt. Do you like Dr. Kurt or Dr. Bavacqua?
Dr. Kurt.
Dr. Kurt?
Yeah.
Dirty doc?
Dr. Bavacqua sounds too serious.
Yes, and we can't have you assigned to anything serious at this point.
At this point, no.
No.
Later, yes.
Yeah. Our buddy Joe asks on Twitter, why can't they just bring Tommy Medica back in the first place, I think is what he's trying to say here.
Tells you a few things.
I think it does. I think the fact that he had such an amazing spring, outside of Chris Bryant, might have been the best hitter in baseball in spring. Has been struggling a little bit in AAA, especially when you compare his numbers to Alex Dickerson or Abraham Almonte. But I would say it's more about getting Meyer some reps at first base and improving the outfield defense. I think that's something that they've seen needs to be improved.
I hope the organization hasn't given up on it. Given up on Medic as a player. Sometimes when you see little signs like that, that's the first thing you think about. You wonder how they feel about a player, a guy that did so well in spring training. And I think he was caught in a numbers game, but then there's been a couple of recalls since then, and he hasn't been one of them. I tell you what, when you have a good spring like that, and then you go down to the minor leagues, it's a big letdown.
Yeah,
it really is. So I didn't really expect him to continue to hit the ball the way he was.
I forgot to tell you, you're on the Cholula hot seat right now.
I love that.
It felt warm, right?
Now we're going to get serious.
Mm-hmm. No, but going back to Tommy Medica, I think I'm sure nobody's given up on him. I think they probably are seeing things they want to see him do better. He's always been a really streaky guy. But if you can hit and you prove you can hit at the major league level, there's always going to be a place for you. And if he proves he can do that, he'll get back up here and they'll find a place for him.
Oh, I think you're right. Anybody that can swing the bat, whether it's in the National League or the American League, they'll find a place for you because they still have the DH rule over there.
Yes. I always laughed. He used to have on his Twitter, his little bio said, the number one DH prospect in the Padres organization.
I didn't know that.
It was just a joke.
I don't know why I mentioned that DH. So was my doctor thing. It was a joke.
Dr. Bavacqua, next question from Jonathan on Twitter. When can we expect Melvin Upton Jr. back in the lineup? This is our daily Melvin Upton Jr. question. I don't know what it is, but people are fascinated by Melvin Upton Jr. being here and what he's going to bring. Have you heard anything on when we can expect him in the lineup or back with the team? He's there. He's been working out in Peoria, so he gets to hang out in the Padres dugout, much like Corey Lupke and Tim Fedorovich, who are out there working at the facility. Have you heard anything on Melvin Upton Jr.?
I haven't. As a matter of fact, I posed that question a couple of days ago, and there wasn't a sure answer to it. But I feel pretty confident in saying that you'll see him take the field probably within the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
At some level or another, I think he's getting very close to coming back. And I think when he is ready to come back, he'll be given somewhat of an opportunity here.
Yeah, a really good defensive center fielder. Mm-hmm. A lot of potential in his bat. He's shown a lot of power in the past. Never really put it all together. I think he was an all-star once. But at worst, he's probably your fourth outfielder. Kind of the complement to Will Venable with the right-handed bat there. Going to play a really good center field. If Will Myers continues to play a good first base and things don't come back with Alonso, that may be where things go with him. So
I'm really anxious to see how Kotze and Alonzo Powell work with him. He's certainly not going to be the kind of long ball hitter that he was earlier in his career, where he hit 20-some home runs on a couple of different occasions, I think, here at Petco, although I think the potential for him to be, you know, 15 to 20 might be good. But then there, or before, he was 20 to 30. So I'm anxious for him to work with those two guys because they're really good at getting the best out of a player if he's got the ability to use right center to left center. And I think Melvin falls into that category.
And like you said, he's had some big power numbers in the past. He's got some potential. He's like some of these pitchers. He's a little bit of a lottery ticket. I know I keep saying that, but he could turn into something special and really help this team down the road. You don't know. I think the one thing that's fascinated me about him has been the responsibility that he's taken for some of the poor play in Atlanta. He's just owned up to it. I think that's a big step for a ball player to say, hey, I didn't play well. It's on me. I've got to do the work to get better, and hopefully that's what he's doing right now.
No, that is a really, really good thing. And I'll tell you what younger players fall into sometimes. When they get into the major league level and they start hitting home runs, they think it not only is it expected, but they expect it out of themselves, and that is going to hurt them in the long run. Unless they're just pure power hitters like his brother is. I mean, he's a home run hitter. That's all there is to it. I don't think Melvin falls into that category. I think he has the ability to hit home runs. And the sooner a player realizes the type of player he is, the better off they are.
Yeah. All right. Before you get any first-degree burns that you have to take care of yourself, I'm going to take you off the Cholula hot seat. So
what was the hot seat question?
We talked about Melvin. We talked about Tommy Medica. Those were questions. God. You just it
That's
was too
not
easy
a Cholula hot seat.
It was too easy
it's
for
gotta
you.
It's got to be hot.
But it also has to be flavorful.
That's
Cholula,
right.
The flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Dr. Bavacqua just dispensing advice everywhere he goes. Yeah, when we come back, we'll get into today's game. Let's put yesterday's game in the past.
It's probably a good idea.
Right? Yeah. A lot to talk about. We can talk about the lineup, the pitching matchup. I want to talk about James Shields and what he really is supposed to be to this team. I think this is the perfect place for him to come in and get a big start, right?
That's correct, sir. Yes, sir.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We're going to talk about today's lineup when we come back. It's Padre Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. He's Kurt Bavacqua, MD. I'm Mike Grace, not a doctor. And getting you ready for the game tonight. We're going to take a look at today's lineup. Today's lineup, as always, brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And there it is, Kurt. We've talked a lot about it, but Myers leading off at first base. Corey Spangenberg getting the start at second. Kemp, Upton, Solarte at third base. Norris, Venable in center. Lexi at short. And James Shields taking the mound. A quick fun fact for you. Will Myers will hit leadoff and play first base. The last Padres player to start at first base and lead off, Robert Fick, in September of 2005, also at Arizona.
Coincidental or I remember Robert Fick.
You do now?
Yeah. What do you mean now? I had no idea who he was.
I want to say Robert Fick was one of the pioneers of wearing eyewear during a post-game or a championship celebration. So after they won the division, he was on that team. He wore goggles, like swim goggles. And I don't really remember too many guys wearing eyewear to protect themselves from the champagne. I think he may have started that trend.
Hey, I don't know what category that puts him in, but I think you're right. He did.
He left his mark on baseball?
He did.
He was an all-star with Detroit when they were not very good.
But now you see guys doing it all. I mean, they're prepared. They are.
Oh, no, the big
goggles
now.
See guys doing
now.
Post-game interviews. Wearing goggles so they don't get pies in the face.
They don't mess around. One quick transaction that also happened today, Nick Vincent sent down to AAA. Sean Kelly activated off the disabled list. He got three rehab appearances in, four innings, no hits, couple walks, four Ks. Really went down to work out the mechanical issues that he was working on, and he feels good about getting back into this bullpen and getting back to what he's done in his career. So hopefully better things from Sean Kelly on the horizon. Nick Vincent gets to go down, work on the things you talked about, tightening up his cutter, which has been a problem, and working on that location and pitching in, like you said.
He needs to work on about 8 inches right there, and he'll be fine. But you know what? When you strike out a couple of guys or one or two guys an inning every time you go out there, that's not bad. You got to know that you've got good stuff. Boy, I wish I had stuff like that, and I was a pitcher in the big leagues.
I wish I did, too. I wish I would have ever done anything in the big leagues, but fate was not on my side. James Shields taking the hill tonight. And when you go out and sign a guy like James Shields, I got to think this is exactly what you signed him for. You've been shut out three of the last four. You need your pitcher to go out there and just put up zeros so that your offense can do what they need to do. And that's what they need to lean on this guy for. Hopefully that's what he brings tonight.
Yeah, I thought we had three or four guys like that in our rotation, to be perfectly honest with you. It just hasn't been that way, at least so far this season. We're less than 30 games into the season, and I expect things to turn around. But James Shields is your go-to guy when it comes to that. He's your number one starter, and he fell into that role. If Tyson Ross or Andrew Kashner or anybody else in the rotation want to come up and yank that from him, good for him. Let him do it. But for right now, James Shields is that guy. He brings the mentality to the mound that they need for tonight, and they need to turn this around a little bit. I'd try to get some runs early. I think that would set the momentum on the Padres' side. It seems like whenever they do that, they do much better.
Definitely. I definitely think you see when they get some first-inning runs, which they've gotten a lot of this year, it settles the pitcher down, and they can go in and just really work. And it's been a weird season in that I see a lot of kind of follow the leader. When one guy gets a hit, another guy gets a hit, another guy gets a hit. Or when your starting pitcher goes out there, puts up zeros, the bullpen starts putting up zeros. When it's the other way, like last night, not a lot of hits, not a lot of hits to follow. Despondy didn't
so
put up zeros.
So everybody's waiting for everybody else to do something.
And in that sense, this is where you need a leader. This is where you need the guy that you went out and spent a lot of money on, the guy that's got the major league proven track record to be the leader, to step up and say, hey, get on my back, guys. We're going to win this ball game, and I'm going to take you there. And that's really what you need from that guy tonight. I'm hoping for it.
So we got to wait until the ninth hitter in a lineup for a base hit.
On the mound.
Oh,
on the mound.
Gotcha.
Come on, Kurt.
Hey, he left him in there to hit that day.
And he got a hit.
A base hit.
And he got a hit. And he's a good hitter.
He's
got a nice swing. He swings hard.
He does. No, he's a competitor.
That's what it is.
He
and
really
that's what
is.
You need. And, you know, he's being paid like an ace. He's going to go out there. He's going to show Tyson, show Cash exactly what it means to take that role, take that responsibility, and get the team a win. Be the stopper. When I think back to 1998, Kevin Brown was just unbelievable that year. And that's absolutely what he was. When they needed a win, he went out there and he was lights out. And he got you a win when you needed it the most.
And you know who's been like that this year? Is Brandon Morrow.
Exactly, and he's on the DL.
It's too bad, too.
It is, and you know, we talked about Despaigne, some of the troubles. They could skip Despaigne his next start. There is an off day, so you could skip the fifth spot in the rotation. But at the same time, you need a lot of these guys. You need Cash, Ross. Kennedy pitched really well his last time out, so hopefully he's kind of turned that corner. But you need these guys to start building some momentum, and like we talked about, follow the lead of the guy before him, hopefully pitching well.
Well, and it's got to start tonight with Shields.
So it really does.
You see that happen. Go out, get the offense going a little bit, get James to throw a good game, turn things around, and put the ball club in a good frame of mind.
Agreed. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park of the Park, or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. More of your Twitter questions coming up right after the break from the AMR Studios.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
We're back. Dr. Bavacqua, very confused right now.
I was just about to blurt out something.
Thank goodness you didn't.
No, it would have been okay to say on
It would have been
air.
Appropriate. Oh, yeah. Thank goodness.
I mean, I'm sitting in a cave last night, and I didn't know what to – You know, it was another one of those deals. I mean, we've had a couple of them lately.
You didn't know what to tweet. You didn't know what to say. You
no,
just kicked your dog and went on with it.
No, my dog was there. I was petting him.
But I know.
It was just one of those bad days that you, if you've had enough of them like I have, you just kind of get over it quickly.
Yeah, that's baseball.
But I can imagine how fans watch that game and they go, you know, why did A.J. Preller make all these moves? Why did he go out and work so hard to get all these players? And that's just the way the game is.
Yeah, baseball's mean.
And you can say that. It is. And you can say that to people, and they just don't get it. They don't understand. And it's a very, very difficult thing to explain. That's why I sit there, and I'm dumbfounded when I watch a game like that. You wonder what's going on. And it's just the way it is.
It's the way it is. Another way it is, we had a lot of good Twitter action today. Apologize, we're not going to get your tweets up on the screen most likely. I think Blooper broke the internet, but I will talk about them. David Renteria Jr. says, flavorful and strong Cholula hot segment, just like Mr. Bavakwa's sock game today. They like your socks, Kurt.
They do.
Not enough to call you by your official name, Dr. Bavakwa, but they do like them.
Dr. Kurt.
Steven Strauss asks, will Matt Kemp hit 25 home runs this year? I mean, that's a crystal ball question. Who really knows?
I certainly hope so, because that means he's going to do well the rest of the year.
You look at his last year, and he really turned it on the second half of the year. His power really came through. He's still doing good things. He's driving in runs, getting on base, doubles. Just hadn't hit a lot of home runs yet. His track record says he will hit more home runs. Again, we don't have a crystal ball. Not too many do, unless you have the Gray's Sports Almanac, which I don't. I wish I did. But who knows? You like what you see out of his swing?
I do, I'll tell you why. Because Matt Kemp has shown me that he's a team guy. He's not – I'm going to – and Justin Upton's the same way. And I think the reason that they're swinging the bat like that – and I haven't had an opportunity to see Justin Upton and Matt Kemp at bats as many times as I have this year, because we get to watch them every game. Before that, you only got to watch them a couple of times every couple of months. But – hitting the ball the other way, that way they have, I think they've adapted the Kotze Powell philosophy of the way to hit at Petco. But yet, on the other hand, we're finding out the balls are flying here better than they have been in the past. So, kind of stuck in a dilemma. What do we do? Well, just go right center, left center, and you'll be good.
Yeah, hit the gap, score runs, you'll be fine, right?
Yeah, I think Matt will be fine, too.
I think so, too. It's not too late to become a Padres season ticket member. Great seats are still available. Become a season ticket member and join the Padres family. Visit Padres.com/membership or call 619-795-5555. We will come back right after the break, close up the show, maybe a couple more Twitter questions, getting you ready for the game. Diamondbacks Padres, we're live at the AMR Studios.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Finishing up the show, Dr. Kurt Bavakwa, Mike Grace from the AMR studios here. And
you're going to confuse people.
Oh, I wanted to go. I just want everybody to think you're a doctor. Maybe you're like a podiatrist
or
something.
Well, you know, no, please, don't look at me like that. You know,
I don't have disdain for podiatrists.
You know, he's drooling at the lips over there with being able to use that as a lead into the coming shows.
A lot of the opens are going to have Dr. Bavakwa
exactly.
For the rest of the year.
That's the point of all this. Hey,
that's all right. I just wanted to see the look on your face.
If Blooper hadn't broken the internet, we could get Kevin Thompson, Park of the Parks, tweet up. He says, Ghost Ray Clark, Padres Social Hour spinoff with Padres Central, Bill Center as the skipper, and Seth Foster as Gilligan. So if this is Gilligan's Island, I guess that means either you're Mr. Howell or you're the professor. Who do you want to be?
I'm certainly not Mr. Howell.
You know?
No.
You don't want to be rich? With Lovey?
The rich part's okay, but the mate is a little shaky.
What are you talking about? You're not the skipper.
I'm not talking about that mate. I'm talking about...
You don't like Lovey?
I can do without Lovey.
They're like 80-year-old people. Come on, man.
Exactly.
So you're the professor. I'll be Mr. Howell. I can handle it.
Oh, we have to be one or the other?
Well, I'm not going to be Marianne or Ginger. Are you?
No.
No. So, all right. You can be professor. You can
okay.
be professor. You can go make a radio out of coconuts.
I'll do Howell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
My wife would say I would do him well, too.
Thurston Howell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think of Buddy when you talk about Thurston Howell. You know what Buddy's real name is?
No.
Harry Ralston Black III.
Really?
That's Buddy. Yeah, but Buddy's just a nickname, and he's always gone by it. But Harry Ralston Black III.
That's why he's called Buddy.
Is Buddy's real name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you don't go by Harry, do you?
Exactly.
One thing we've talked about, this team needing to find some consistency. In your opinion, how do they get to that consistent level where they're hitting the ball, you avoid these every other game shutouts, or the pitching gets serious?
I think you have to start thinking of putting things into motion. Hitting runs. I mean, they did that already. I was surprised when they did it with Myers and Kemp a couple of games ago. So I think a little bit more of that, trying to score quickly, they'll be all right.
Score quickly, a lot of runs. That sounds like a recipe for wins. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Andy and Randy at 3:30. Thanks, everybody.